Hi, I'm Tony Smith, head coach of the Warrington Wolves. This is the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Welcome to another Rugby League World Cup final hooter. I'm Adrian Jackson, as always, joined by David Parkinson. Got a special guest with us this evening. I know you'd like to still be part of the tournament, but from Ireland, we've got Tyrone McCarthy. Tyrone, welcome to the final hooter podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And what a great show we've got lined up as well.
Oh, should be a great one, this one. We've got loads of post-match reaction from the games at the World Cup. I believe you managed to speak to Big Fui Fui Maimai, who's found a new... He's found a new support act in Halifax.
Yeah, they certainly loved him over in Halifax on Sunday. I can imagine British rugby league fans trying to grow the hair like him.
Well, I've already started to try, but it's not really kicked off yet because I'm still trying to grow out this number two that I've got.
Now, Tyrone, we know you like to grow a beard, but are you going to grow your hair like Fui Fui Maimai?
I don't think I've got that in me on the top of my head.
Right, we're going to hear from Fui Fui Maimai, we're going to hear from Matty Russell, and we'll also hear from New Zealander Sean Johnson, who's having a great tournament.
And also Steve McCormack as well, the Scottish coach, on the qualification for the quarterfinals. We weren't expecting that, were we?
No, so we're also going to hear from also Carlo Napolitano.
Plenty to come then.
Here's then, let's touch base with the games that have happened then, shall we? Last weekend, week two of the Rugby League World Cup, and the feel-good factor regarding Rugby League still continues in this tournament.
Yeah, I think that the games were close. They were of good quality, weren't they? I mean, it all kind of kicked off with the Cook Islands and how well they were doing, and you know, with the way that Tonga played as well in that game, in 10,500 people over at Lee, and that was like a great advert for the sport, and it just got better from there, didn't it, as the week went on.
Yeah, we moved over to Salford, where Scotland secured another victory against the USA. USA did have qualification in the bag, but Scotland needed to win to pile the pressure on Italy, didn't they?
They did, and to be fair, in the first half of that one, America seemed to do everything right. They defended stoutly, they managed to hold Scotland up about three or four times in goal, and they did look set for another famous victory, but you can't count against the spirit that Scottish side are showing in this World Cup, and they really did come back, and probably helped a little bit by a 12-0 penalty count in the second half. They got on top of USA and ended up winning quite comfortably in the end, though.
What have your thoughts about USA and Scotland being, Tyrone?
Yeah, really shocked the world. I think that was their saying in camp for USA, and I think they'll be really proud of the efforts in progressing through that group, and they've got the dream game against Australia to come. As for Scotland, I don't think anyone gave them a chance before, but when you've got players like Danny Brough in your side, and you know that anything can happen, and they've really shown up well.
It is quite bizarre how the USA never thought they'd make the quarterfinals, because they bought themselves to go home this week.
They did. I would imagine that a lot of the management will have been looking up hotels and contacting people at the Rugby League saying, where are we stopping this week? Because as you mentioned, all the plans were made for them to get on the plane and head back to wherever they come from.
They actually moved over to Friday in Group B, and it was New Zealand against Papua New Guinea. And New Zealand coming out comprehensive winners 56-10, but my word, there were some big tackles.
Oh, there was some big tackles, and I know that perhaps you can say Papua New Guinea have been a little bit disappointing over the course of this particular tournament. They didn't really turn up against Samoa, and then they got played off the park in the first half against New Zealand, but when they actually come up with the physicality, they really do sort of mix it with the best in the world. But it's just a case of trying to get that a little bit more structured. And New Zealand have been a fantastic side. I mean, they've just carried on the international form. They've got a pack to be reckoned with, and two halfbacks who look like they could really run the world. I don't know about shot the world at the minute.
We mentioned the big tackles that took place in that game. You were on the end of the Fiji defence in Rochdale. What was that like?
Yeah, it was probably the most physical game I've been involved with. The day after, Buddy certainly knew about it. I think it took us to about the Thursday before we started feeling any type of freshness, and we had to turn that around and then play England on the Saturday. So yeah, it's a really tough encounter against Fiji, and I'm sure they've rattled a few bones in the Aussie and England camps too.
They certainly did on Saturday in Hull, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that they really acquitted themselves well, to be honest, Fiji. And I've been impressed with them over the course of the tournament. I'm sure Tyrone won't like me saying so much, but I thought that they were really impressive in patches against Ireland. You know, they put the points on the board. They came up against what is a very, very strong and talented Australian side, and certainly let them know that they've been in the game. They restricted them to a 16-2 scoreline at half time, took the lead in that one. And they took the lead against England as well with a really well worked try. But for a bounce of a ball and another excellent 20-25 minutes from Steve McNamara's men, we could be talking about a Fijian upset though.
Yeah, they certainly played well in that first half, just couldn't maintain it during that second half, could they?
I think it's always going to be tough because they played it really strong. They had a lot of cohesion about the play in the first half. They knew what they were doing. Everyone was turning up and buying into it. They were frustrating England. England didn't get off to the best of starts. And it did take them a heck of a long time to get into the game, but you know, like with a lot, we're talking about some real class top end Super League players here, aren't they, that can turn it round given the bounce of a ball and an opportunity and a flip pass in the right place.
Tyrone, you're an Englishman playing in the Islands and you played against England the week before. How do you feel England have gone throughout this tournament?
Yeah, I think England are probably pretty happy with obviously the performance against us. The first half, some absolutely outstanding tries they scored, and like you say, the flip passes going to hand, and they seem to find the rhythm again against Fiji in that second half. I just think watching them, they're a bit more patient than they have been in previous years. I think at half time there was probably a few people questioning the scoreline, but I think England had a lot of the territory in that game and they played up the right end of the field, and I think that's what Australia have been doing for over the last two decades. They've just not been worried about the scoring, they've just been making sure they're playing at the right end of the park.
I thought during that game against Fiji, England looked better with the more direct attack approach as they went straight into the heart of that Fiji defence.
Yeah, I think they kind of got on top of them down the middle, didn't they, with quick play the balls and then some dynamic ruck plays as well off the back of it. And in the end, that's where it was won, the likes of Chris Hill rampaging through the middle, and you know, he found good support from Benny Westwood, and you know, just to mention the Warrington pair, as we must do in our show. You know, but I think on the back of that, they played, like Tyrone said, some really patient stuff. And you're right, I suppose, in the past, we've come up against any sort of side that has played that type of game against us, and we've not known how to respond, whereas this time you get the feeling, we'll just get stuck in the arm wrestle and get stuck in.
Now, Ireland, they went into the game against Australia knowing the victory would have put them into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's not quite how it panned out, is it? But like we said before, it's a great Australian side, this, and Ireland weren't disgraced in this game at all. I thought that they really did put an effort in and a great shift, and that's not just because I'm sitting next to Tyrone and he's within
punching
range.
He'll thump you, that's why.
Yeah.
Tyrone, you were in that game. How was it during that match?
Yeah, I think we're obviously a bit disappointed not to get on the scoreboard, but we were pretty proud of our efforts in the first half. We had a real big penalty count against us, which we thought was a bit unfair, unjustified, and obviously we knew that Australia are probably favourites for this competition and it was going to be an uphill battle, but I think we gave them a good... There was a 20-minute period where it was just toe for toe, and so you do that with the best team in the world, with some of the lads that are playing for Ireland, only part-time lads, not full-time professionals. We can be really proud of our efforts, and I think for this World Cup, what we need to take on is it's a building phase for us, and we need to make sure that we're going in the right direction for the next one.
Now, we know where Mark Aston's style of a coach as a club coach at Sheffield. What was he like around the Ireland camp?
Yeah, he's obviously he lets everyone know what is expected of him, and he has his own structures, and the way that he plays down at Sheffield, I think he wanted Ireland to adopt, and obviously for some of us it's totally different structures, and I think we spoke earlier about having a bit more time together than we probably could have bonded a bit more, and obviously knew how each other would play in them structures, and that's something that we learn now, and we reflect back on the old camp and what we could do differently for obviously the upcoming years in between the next World Cup.
Now, the Rugby League World Cup went to Ireland for that game in Limerick. What was the atmosphere like around Limerick ahead of that game and during that game?
Yeah, well, we went over a week before to get training out over in Limerick at the university over there, and it was good to see there was big advertising and stuff. I just think the rugby union game was on over there, so that probably took a couple of thousand off the attendance that probably would have come down. As Limerick is mad about sport, and obviously the rivalry between Australia and Ireland and all the other sports, and the Gaelic football and the cross game that they play, and obviously the rugby union, and people would come down, and we did manage to get the biggest gate they've ever had at a rugby league game in Ireland, and 2,000 more than the previous game against France in 2011.
Looked an impressive stadium, did the Munster ground. Did it play as well as it looked as good on the TV?
Yeah, definitely. I played there in 2011. It's just a fantastic stadium with a lot of history, and that's something that you can't replace, playing at them kind of venues. And you could hear the crowd behind us every time we made a charge up the field. You grow that extra leg, and it's just a shame that we couldn't get a try for the supporters.
It's great to see you on the way home. That Bob Bezek had his guitar out, and you were singing Wonderwall.
Yeah, I think we had to a few poor renditions of every song that Bob could play on his guitar. We knew it was always going to be an uphill battle, but that's one thing that we said was make sure we enjoy every moment of the World Cup. And a lot of us would have liked to stay in Ireland and been with our families after the World Cup, and we just thought we would show everyone that we were there for having a good time, even though that the results didn't come our way.
Do you feel that you've made history as well, in a way, in sort of, I know you've played at that ground before, but in sort of boosting the attendance in such a way, it just shows that there is some future for Rugby League in Ireland as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the potential in Ireland's absolutely huge. There's definitely a place for the Rugby League out there, and like you say, if the attendances are increasing, that shows that obviously the word's spreading, and we definitely made history with that's the first time Ireland have played Australia, and like we say, that other teams in the World Cup have had to really fight for the right to get a place in the quarterfinal to play them, and now that's a huge honour. That might be the biggest game of most of the lads' careers. And like you say, the history of the attendance and just being in that situation and involved, the whole experience is something that we'll all cherish for the rest of our lives.
Did show during that game that Sheehan's got a wealth of quality within his squad, because he rested a couple of the top profile players, and they still looked really good during that 80 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 22, 23 world-class players there, hasn't he? Right on top of the game. Every time a Billy Slater doesn't play, a Greg English moves into position, and that just basically sums up the strength of the Australian game, doesn't it? And the fact that they've probably got another four or five players who could equally step up. I mean, we haven't really talked a lot during these shows about Jared Hayne and his, what an influence he can be as well. I mean, I've seen him on the television for Parramatta, and he's a freakish talent, absolutely freakish ball in hand, and he's only third choice fullback for Australia, so it just shows what strength they have, in particularly in that position. But I think it's the same for most of it.
Certainly is as well. Sadly for Ireland, that was the end of the road. Australia stride on into the quarterfinals along with England and Fiji from Group A. We'll give you the rundown as we move forward through this podcast. The action moved over on the Sunday down to Wales, and who was going to get the first victory of the Rugby League World Cup? Was it going to be Wales or the Cook Islands?
And unfortunately for any Welsh listeners, it was the Cook Islands, wasn't it? That was actually the first victory in a World Cup, so again, another historic occasion down there in Neath, although I'm sure there were plenty of unhappy Welshmen safe in the knowledge that they didn't quite do enough well, despite mounting that really exciting comeback near the end. Interesting to note there that Christian Rowitz was amongst the tries again, because he had a really good game against America the week before. But for me, they've been a big disappointment in this tournament of Wales. I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but I'm sure that Yestin Harris will look at his squad and think, where could we have gone better? What could we do to improve for next time? And I'm not even going to try and go there, to be honest, because I think there's a heck of a lot that he's doing in the Welsh Rugby League.
Looking at the squad, Tyrone, ahead of this World Cup, are you surprised to see Wales leave the tournament without a group victory?
Yeah, I think looking at Wales and the pre-World Cup, I think that they probably fancied the chances for progressing through their group. Like we know, we said like USA have come in and really shook up the tournament and had some good performances, and I think Wales will probably be a bit disappointed with themselves, and not to get one win within that group is a big shock, really.
And I think that they were fancied for it as well, being like a joint host for the tournament, weren't they, Tyrone?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at the actual format of what they had, they probably couldn't have planned it any better for themselves if they wanted to. And I think that's probably what will add to the disappointment, because I think if they probably won't get an opportunity as good as that for many years.
I think it was unfortunate as well, because the for me, just looking at their squad, I know you probably can't comment or won't want to comment on this, which is fair enough, but I just think that the whole balance of their squad wasn't quite there this time. They had a number of players playing out of position, and I don't think that helps when you get into an international game, because you're still almost fathoming for your position, and literally you're up against somebody who's been playing that position all season, who wants to get the better of you and wants to run round you.
Certainly without a doubt, and obviously Wales really failed to deal with that threat, didn't they?
They did. I mean, you know, some of those Cook Islander lads, I mean, we were there again. I'm going to mention that international they played against Tonga, but that was a real bruiser, but some fantastic skills as well. I mean, they had the lad on the wing, didn't they, who scored the hat-trick, and he was just on the end of the movements. You know, they had so much good work that was going on in the middle, and these are lads that are largely, they've only played bit part of the season for their NRL clubs as well. A lot of them are playing in the likes of Queensland Cup and New South Wales Cup as well, so there is a lot of potential there amongst the Cooks.
They'd have been happy to have got that victory, and I'm sure they'd have been singing all the way to the airport on Monday.
I'm not quite sure what songs they sing in the Cook Islands, you know, so I would like to find out, actually. It would be great if, you know, one or two of them could, you know, drop me an email or something, I don't know. Perhaps we can set that up.
Second game on Sunday happened at the Shea, and this was a winner-take-all situation, wasn't it? Certainly for Italy and Scotland. If Italy win the game, Scotland were eliminated. If Tonga won the match, who couldn't qualify, that ended Italy's hopes.
Yeah, and I know walking up to the Shea on Sunday, I was thinking, oh, this looks like it's going to be a real home game, this, for the Italians, because there were people outside handing out the Italian flag. I don't know, there was all kinds of different foods being served outside the ground and whatever. And I thought, I'm walking into a real Italy home job here. But as soon as Furumoimoi took the first hit up of the game for Tonga, everything just changed his way. And, you know, Tonga were very, very good. They showed a heck of a lot of desire there.
You could see they were up for it, the way they ripped into the Haka.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know about you, we've got all kinds of different formats of the Haka which have sort of took place in this World Cup, and that, for me, that Tongan one is the best of the lot.
Which is your favourite, Tyrone?
I think, obviously, with the New Zealand, when you watch them, and that's what everyone, probably the most famous one, it's always great to watch. But like you say, when you get two of them going at each other, I think they're both as fiery as each other.
I have to admit, I quite like the Cook Islands one, but it's one of those where the crowd starts to applaud it and ripple, but there's still another stage left,
you know,
so it's like they start off again and everybody goes, oh, I shouldn't have moved then, should I? I shouldn't have applauded.
I got the impression during that game, Italy knew what was on offer for them. They seemed to get nervous, but to be honest with you, Tonga just wouldn't let them settle into a normal game plan.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I mean, we've seen the likes of Anthony Minicello really running some good lines and getting the ball move wide, and I don't know, for some reason that didn't quite come to fruition on Sunday, and I thought that they kept it a lot more within the pack than what they have been doing, and as we know, those Tongans are some big blokes and they just seem to relish people running at them all day. I think if you run directly at a Tongan, he's going to hit you, and he's going to hit you hard.
And we'll hear from one of the star players of Tonga, that's Furumoimoi. Furumoimoi, what a great game by the Tongans tonight.
Yeah, mate, it's a good game. We'll talk about it before the game and the whole week. We're going to donate this game for all the Tongans that support us in Tonga and around the world. So give all the credit for the players, and, you know, we play as a team, and we stuck in there till the 80 minutes. So give all the credit for the boys.
So you played with a lot of passion and a lot of big hits as well.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about before the game, and you know, to how proud everyone to be a Tongan and be part of the tournament. It's a great tournament. Disappointed we missed the first round, but against Scotland. But let's say thank you for the World Cup and all the opportunity they gave us to Tongan, and looking forward hopefully next year and next World Cup, and Tongan will become more stronger and go to the next level.
What's been the reaction like in Tonga to this tournament?
Everyone in Tonga back home, they all their support, and they wake up early and watch the game. I just finished talk on Tongan radio. Everyone so happy and so proud the way we're going, and I think that's all the game that we play tonight. Let's give it to them.
And then you got a fully deserved Man of the Match award as well. Certainly enjoyed yourself out there.
Man of the Match, give all the players. Everyone, the first 17, they deserved to win that medal. But pretty lucky to get the medal. So yeah, thank you.
And for the start of Rugby League as well, the Halifax Puppet certainly took Tonga to the hearts as well.
Yeah, it was good. To get those supporter. They support the Tongan, to get our back and make us play more harder, and thank you for all the support they give it to the Tongan.
I know you're disappointed you've not made the quarterfinals, but have you enjoyed yourself playing your rugby league over in the UK?
No, we're disappointed, but we don't look back. We learn from that, and it's good to play around, in England, and hopefully I'll come back and play again.
Have a bit of a well-deserved rest and get ready for the NRL as well then?
Yeah, I don't know how long I'm going to have a break, but hopefully I'll be back next year.
My word, what a frightening thought that would be if he's back terrorising defences next year maybe.
I think he's approaching his 10th season in the NRL as well, which just tells you all that you need to know about Furufuru Maimai. He's got a real cult following there, and he's never played for anyone else but the Parramatta Eels as well. So I don't know, you never hear about Australian players having benefit seasons, but it just makes you wonder whether he's due a testimonial for all the blood, sweat and tears that he spilled there for the Eels.
Now, the action moved over to Monday for the final group game of the World Cup campaign for all the nations. It happened in France. France and Samoa were going for a shootout, weren't they, for second and third place in Group B. And it was Samoa who came up with the victory required.
This was a right bruising contest, wasn't it? I thought the first half in particular was brutal with some of the hits going in. And all level at half time, I thought, how much more can they stand of this? It was like watching two prize boxers going at it, pound for pound and punch for punch. But second half, you got the feeling that the Samoans, that sort of team where they can turn on a bit of skill as well as the physicality, and been really impressed with Joey Lilia, the centre, and I think he's really helped them get on the front foot. And when you've got the likes of Anthony Milford as well, who I think I picked last week as being in my team of the tournament so far, the try that he scored, he beat about four players, and I still don't know how he scored it, and I don't think anybody does in France either.
Yeah, he's quite elusive at fullback, isn't he? And he's a quite a dangerous attacking player.
He is, and he's good to see. I suppose the fact that he's only 19 as well, it just makes you wonder how much more improvement is there in him. I mean, I know that a lot of people have been championing Matty Russell, who's also gone particularly well for Scotland over the course of this tournament, and that's something that Super League fans and Warrington fans in particular will have to look forward next year. But Milford's just something else. He's been on another planet.
Certainly, with the tackling, they're a bit over aggressive for the referees, and then one or two of them were put on report and God knows what.
Yeah, I think that's just the way they play, though, isn't it? They'll take it to as near the knuckle as they can get it. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Masai play for St Helens next season in Super League, because he's a tank. He is a beast. I'm just really looking forward to it. But I suppose with some of the refereeing over here, he could spend more time out of action than on the field, I suppose.
Fair to say, during that game, Tyrone, France had more than a few chances to have won that game, though.
Yeah, I think the Dupont, when he took it out of his own players' hands, pretty much, and I think that would have put France in the, obviously, ahead and going into half-time with the lead, and obviously when you've got that lead, it's the psychological battle that the opposition team then get, like with being behind. And I think France might have got grown in confidence themselves and maybe got the win, but it's the fine margins that make the big difference in that game. And obviously Samoa got themselves straight back in the game and with some good tries, like you said.
That victory for Samoa means they have a showdown in the quarter-final against Fiji, whereas France's reward is a tough-looking trip against England in Wigan.
Yeah, it's tough all round that, though, isn't it? I mean, the Fiji-Samoa game could be a real highlight of the World Cup, so we both know what they're capable of, and, you know, they've shown it on occasions during the course of this World Cup. France will do it tough, but I think they have got some real character in the side now. The likes of Escare coming through, he's adds a real bit of class to them, and, you know, obviously they've still got Jamal Fakir to knock a few heads together as well. So,
I thought you were going to swear then for a minute.
No, I'll be practicing. I'll have to practice a bit more, won't I?
A real star quality act in the New Zealand team is a young scrum half, Sean Johnson, really kicking over the goals for fun, isn't he?
He's been amongst the points, hasn't he? And I saw an interesting little piece between him and the great New Zealand goalkeeker Darrell Halligan as well, who you might recall from the 90s kicking all them goals for Canterbury Bulldogs.
Vaguely.
Nah, you're a big fan, I can tell, mate. I certainly was, anyway. I think he's a young kid who will now really start to come to fruition in the New Zealand game, I suppose, because he's like one of a number of young players who are almost stepping out of Benji Marshall's shadow, as obviously Benji's decided that he doesn't want to play rugby league at the moment and he's having a go at rugby union. But it's given an opportunity for another couple of players to come through, and to be honest, Sean Johnson's grabbing it with both hands at the moment.
He has, and by pure chance I caught up with him after the game against Papua New Guinea in Leeds last Friday. Sean Johnson found the group game done and dusted, the New Zealand come up with a well deserved victory.
Yeah, it was certainly tough out there. We knew it was going to be a tough encounter, a very physical encounter, but happy most of the boys got out of it pretty safe.
Guys, happy overall though?
Yeah, we are. I think, especially the way we started that game, a lot of positives we can take out of that and, you know, look forward and build on towards next week.
What do you think about Papua New Guinea during that match?
Yeah, mate, that was strong, very physical, run hard, hit hard, and it was an awesome contest to be a part of.
Great crowd and great atmosphere here in Leeds tonight as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and you know, that was something we just spoke about a bit earlier. You know, it's very special for us, you know, players to come into an atmosphere like this and be a part of it. You know, we can play rugby league, but when you hear the crowd getting into it like they were, makes it that much more special. So, yeah, credit to the fans that showed up.
As to the wins that you got out in the group stages, which one was the most satisfying?
I think, you know, all of them were special in their own way, but I think probably that Samoan game, that first game, obviously there's a lot of hype about it, and to get the campaign off the way we did, it was a pretty good effort.
So personally, you're quite happy with your form?
Yeah, obviously still a few things I can work on that have been bugging me. But look, mate, that's the good thing about footy, you know, you've got next week to try, you know, correct those wrongs.
Next week it's Knockout Rugby League and it is the quarterfinals. That's a big game to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and you know, that's what we play for. You know, we've put ourselves in a position, to be a part of the finals part of this tournament, and, you know, it all counts for nothing if we don't, you know, go on with the job now.
Matthew Russell, first of all, congratulations on the win against USA tonight.
Yeah, it's been really good. We've played three teams now and we've come up with two wins and a draw, so yeah, we're happy with our efforts. We've probably made history for Scotland as well in rugby league and proved a lot of people wrong.
How do you feel the game went for you tonight?
I think it went well. First half we were very scrappy, we threw away a lot of ball, but we dug in like we always do and came out second half, and they didn't score and didn't get any points. And we turned them all. We rolled them down the field like they sort of did in the first half to us. But we dug in and made the tackles we needed to and got the tries as well, so it was good.
Another close game within the World Cup as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a really close game. And yeah, USA are a good team too, so they've done well to get through. So credit to them too. So
everyone's saying the USA have been a surprise package. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, they've definitely shocked a lot of people, and They've surprised the competition, like, definitely. We've got some good players there who just do the jobs and get the tries, and they work hard in defence too. Like, we didn't score a try in the first half. We had a few disallowed, but they worked hard too, so credit to them again.
Mentioning the group games, you've won two and drawn one. What's been the most satisfying game of those three?
Even the Tonga one was good because we were definitely underdogs, and a lot of people were saying, "Oh, we're gonna get battered and stuff like that." But as soon as we won that, we were over the moon, like, and our confidence has just risen since then. And we were unlucky to get the draw against Italy, but they were a good team too, so it's probably fair to be honest. And today we come back from 8-0 down to no score in the second half from then and to win. So yeah, probably the Tonga game was good because it probably kicked us on a lot. So yeah, Tonga game.
Quite happy with your form during this tournament?
Yeah, I'm happy. I've got quite good with the tries, but they've come off the back of good play from the halves, and the forwards have definitely got us good field position and got us going forward. So yeah, it's all been good. Yeah, well, New Zealand are definitely a tough team, and they've proved that in the games they've played. They've put 40 on it like most of the teams, but no one can write us off again. Like, we've showed spirit and passion to get the wins in the past, so I don't see why we can't beat them.
This is Chris Hill. This is the Rugby League World Cup final. Hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Now, Chris Hill certainly does like leading the way for England. He's getting better as the games go by.
He is, yeah. I mean, that spell he had right at the start of the second half, against Fiji, he was, he was like a bowling ball with legs, I think, because the way that he got them forward. And he is, as you mentioned, certainly leading the way. How do you think he's gone, Tyrone, as one of his teammates, I suppose?
Yeah, I don't think he's just growing every game he plays at the minute, isn't it? I've been playing with him during my time at Lee on dual registration, and always knew he was capable of coming into Super League and setting it alight, but I don't think anyone would have said he could have had a dream year like he did last year, and he's even kicked on again this year. And I think personally he'd be one of my starting props for England if I was to choose the team, and I think his performances against Australia in the first game and against us, and obviously, like you said, that second half performance, he's just took it by the scruff of the neck and he's leading the way.
Who would your other starting prop be for England, though, just out of interest? Because I know there's some pretty good competition, shall we say, within those spots.
I think I'd probably play Sam Burgess alongside him. I know Sam he gets a lot of the glitz and glamour alongside, but I think with him, he's very professional in what he does. He knows his role, and well, I think if you have him starting a prop, then you can get Sean O'Loughlin in that loose forward position. And playing against him and watching him at Wigan, and he, I think generally we've always, loose forwards have always just been stuck in as that middle unit with England, and I think he's really took that game with England this year, where he's dictating the plays in that middle of the park, and he's really a strong leader in that middle of the field.
Right then, in the Rugby World Cup, the group stages are done and dusted. We know where the quarter finalists are. It starts, first of all, with New Zealand taking on France. No, it's not. It's not, is it?
It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
there's even a wall chart behind you here, mate. Shall I help you?
Shall I
in fact,
it?
No. Go on. Let's have the professional. Let's have the professional say it.
Yeah, so the first quarter final will be New Zealand versus Scotland,
and of course Scotland. They'll be relishing the opportunity of taking on New Zealand, but I think even someone in the wildest dreams would be, even a really good betting man probably wouldn't put his £5 on Scotland, would he?
Like I say, when you've got the players in there in the team that Scotland they got with Brough's kicking game, this game is about building pressure and territory, and if Scotland can get a good start, I think you never know, but obviously how strong New Zealand have looked, like you say, you'd be a very keen man to put another £5 note on him.
The second quarter final, I'll help you out here,
go
mate.
On, please.
The second quarter final takes place early doors on Saturday. It's Australia against the USA. And the USA, as you mentioned, you should shock the world. Obviously, they've got the Wiggles on side, haven't they? And I've seen that video, and it's available on certain file sharing websites. Mm. So I'm not sure whether they've paid us enough to give them any further advertising. But, I mean, that's a massive opportunity, isn't it, for those USA players speaking. As someone like you did before, who came up against the Aussies very, very recently.
Yeah, definitely. I think to get to play against Australia, that's where you're getting yourself to test yourself against the best players in the world. And I think, like you say, USA have had to work to get that opportunity, and I think they're going to try and enjoy every minute of it. And hopefully they'll ruffle a few feathers along the way and might get an early lead, and that'd be great for the game too.
I have to admit, I've really appreciated the way that USA have gone about the games. I think in Craig Priestley, who nobody had heard about, I mean, I think he's a native New Yorker, for goodness sake, so it's really good that we're getting players of that ilk coming through the ranks. But he's had a great tournament alongside Joey Paolo, who everybody's been talking about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's a few of the actual American ball lads that have impressed me. The prop forward, is it Off?
Offendahl.
Offendahl, yeah. And he's really stood out for me whenever I watch the games. And that's the beauty of the World Cup, is that you get to find out these players that probably are not as established as your big-name players, but it gives them the opportunity to stand out and be counted.
And the third quarter final.
No, you carry on.
Oh, all right, okay. No, I'm just thinking because you could part.
I'm having a rugby league brain freeze.
You could part get this one right, mate, because France are included in it. They're playing against England, of course. Now we've already talked about the pack power that's involved with England. We mentioned the Burgess. We've not really spoke about his brothers, who have also had a good influence on this tournament. We spoke about Chris Hill. Any other real key players who you feel have still to probably step up and take the place and the podium, I suppose, for England?
Like I've mentioned, Lachlan before, I think he's really key to everything, what they're going to do, especially once they start, if they progress through this game. I think the backs, they've really stood up for and been counted this World Cup. I think on paper, when people look at the team, they probably all go, that's where the strength is in the forwards, and I think that the forwards can match it with the best. And but I think, like, Rangi Chase, he's probably had his best game against us.
What do you feel about the French side? I mean, this is a side that, to be honest, it's only scored 2 tries so far this tournament, and yet they've qualified for a quarter-final.
Yeah, they scored them 2 tries when it mattered most, though, didn't they? And they got the win. And I'm sure if I was in their position, I wouldn't be grumbling at going through only scoring 2 tries. They're probably a little frustrated with themselves too, with dropping out of that last game the way they did in that second half. And I'm sure they just want to be competitive against England. And like we've mentioned before, like now there's no easy games for anyone, and they probably need to be on their best side to get a result against England.
And finally, the last quarter final, Samoa against Fiji. It's another chance for Warrington to really stand up, in particular, and hopefully another 14,000 crowd there.
Looks like it is going to be the case, isn't it? And that's the one I'm looking forward to, because we obviously know Australia are going to be too strong for the USA. We expect England to be too strong for Fiji, but you can never tell within a game of rugby. But that one...
Hang on.
I'm getting it wrong again. See,
you've got it wrong again.
Brain freeze.
Hang on.
France.
I'm going to get you France. An atlas, I think, for next week. Then you know who's playing where, when, and why.
Right, I'll leave it at this, kept one then. I'm expecting big tackles and a close game in Warrington on Sunday.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I like that. You've done the trick there. Tyrone, your thoughts as well. I know I've certainly spouted my thoughts about Samoa and Fiji so far.
Yeah, obviously, I think, like say, you look at the draw now, this is probably going to be one of the games of the tournament. Because the winner goes through, they're the ones who make the biggest upset, really. They get the place in the semi-final against one of the big three that you'd imagine would likely proceed to the semis, and obviously playing against Fiji, we know it's going to be a tough encounter for the Samoans, but I'm sure that the Samoans won't be taking a backward step, and it's just all set up to be a great tie and a great occasion.
It's going to be a great weekend. You mentioned the likes of them countries, the likes of Fiji. You've got a bit of a project going regarding rugby league around them countries, haven't you?
Yeah, the Full Blood Project, we've set up, well, we started early this year, putting plans in place, and with the World Cup in mind, about a development kind of project within these countries, playing rugby league to help with their education, and it's getting these young people involved through rugby league, and then teaching them about all different social influences in their life, especially in Fiji. Is domestic violence, dealing with alcohol and all them kind of issues. working with the communities to deliver that, but then also working with their young elite players about further education on their rugby league and education itself. We really want to build a legacy in these countries, which hopefully in turn help their international game and their international teams. So yeah, like you say, our first project's up and running in Fiji now, and we've got our first full-blood athlete who we're looking to bring over to England and hopefully get him a club over the next year or so, and that's what it's about. It's about developing the game and hopefully developing the international game along the way. And we've just had our first event in Warrington at the Warrington Irish Club, and that was to raise funds about looking setting up a similar project in Ireland and working like whether it'll be an academy set up and just to improve the game, and that's what we're about. We're all passionate about rugby league and but making sure that everyone gets the same opportunity to fulfil their potential themselves.
And rugby league players like doing the personal training. You've gone down that road. Where did the idea come from for that?
Well, obviously my background's when I went to university, I studied education and wanted to become a teacher. And I made two very close friends that are out in Fiji working, doing projects as building schools with gap year students. And we just got talking after I'd went volunteering in Africa last year about just doing something different to make a difference to other people's lives. You come back and you have a different sense of life. Like you start to appreciate things more. And a lot of the kids that I met out in Africa and the lads are dealing with in Fiji, all they're after is an opportunity. And I think we take that for granted over here with our education systems and what's available to us. And we want to do as much work in the UK and to help kids in deprived areas over here too. But we feel like if we can give something back, then that'll have a bigger influence on their whole community and they'll start to help themselves.
I suppose in some ways you're almost creating like the sports poster boys of the future. Is that the idea behind it? But with also having the good things that come behind that, you know, quality education, quality training and everything like that.
Yeah, definitely. Like for us, if one of our lads who comes through one of the projects does become a professional rugby league player, then that's really awesome for us and for the player himself, but that's not the focal point. If that happens, like I say, that'd be great. But we want to build good people for the communities and use rugby league as the tool of engagement to get people involved in initiatives. And that's what we want. We want to make sure if them players do come and do that, that they are well equipped, that they're not getting chucked in at the deep end, and they understand what's responsible for them. They are role models once they start getting involved in being international players and stuff. And that's where the whole project comes from. Is at the minute there's nothing like that out there to give people that opportunity. And we just went for that. This is a real good way, especially after the World Cup, to leave a bit of a legacy behind. Where we're looking towards the next World Cup. If there's some domestic players in these squads, and we've had our hand in with that, we can be real proud of that.
If people want to support your projects or even get involved, where can they get the details from?
We have our Twitter account, which is @thefullbloods. We have our website, which is www.thefullbloodproject.org. And we have a Facebook page, which we've probably got the most updates on with what's going on. And obviously we try and mirror it with what's going on over here as much as we can. And we're hopefully going to host a few more events over the course of the next 6 months, so obviously raise the profile of the project and start to bring some funds in so we can start to make a bigger difference.
And for next season, you'll be running that from Australia?
Yeah, obviously I'm quite sad to leave Warrington, being a homegrown lad, but the opportunity to come to go out and play out in Australia, and I think for my personal development, I think it's going to be good for myself, and I can't wait to get started out there. And with the project, it means that I've got a different angle to look at it now. Obviously, the Australia Rugby League's their main game, and it's massive out there commercial wise. And if the project can benefit from that, that'd be great too.
Do do you also get the feeling as well, sort of looking at it, that I suppose being based out there in sort of Queensland where you'll be able to look at how rugby league is with the Aboriginal community, and will that give a bit of an impetus to what you're hoping to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that we've already highlighted was the Aborigine, because they have the problems like we talked about fitting into the social environment and communities. So if we can use rugby league to engage with them, then get them mixing in with the community, that'd be great. And it's something that we have planned to look into, and it'd be obviously good for the project itself.
Now, when you are over in Australia, you are going to be linking up with former Widnes and Wakefield player Jason Dimitru.
Yeah, me and JD, we've spoke quite a bit now over the last couple of months, and he's been really positive about me going out there. And obviously, he's played a huge influence on me on my decision to go out there. And I mean, it's not an easy decision to say that you're going to go and spend your life on the opposite side of the planet. But yeah, he's really, really positive, and obviously for me, like I said, it's about me, my development, and making sure I become a better player, and hopefully the opportunity with an NRL club might come off the back of it, and then further down the line, then if I'm playing well enough, and there might be the opportunity to come back to Super League, but hopefully I'll be a better player for doing this experience.
Certainly seems to be a common factor amongst English players over here. Want to go and try the handover in Australia. Is that a worrying sign for our game over here?
I don't know whether it's a worrying sign. I think it's actually quite complimentary, to be honest, that these days Australian teams are looking over towards English talent, because for so long beforehand, it's been the opposite way about, hasn't it? Where if you've got an Australian accent, you get a club over here, no problem. So it's nice to see the English boys fighting back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when people are moaning about players leaving the competition, I think I don't see it as a problem. I think if one player leaves, like say Sam Tonkins, it's an opportunity to find the next Sam Tonkins. And if them players aren't given that opportunity, when will they get the opportunity? If the players are going to be stuck in the game, and like I say, it's complementary to the game itself. And I feel personally that the sooner they get the structural stuff in the Super League sorted, then more lads will probably start to look at the Super League as a place to ply the trade. But I think Australia, with being steady over there, and they obviously it's growing every year, it is appealing to these young players to go out there and earn a living.
Unfortunately for yourself, Tyrone, that's us about our time on the Rugby League Final Hoot. So the Rugby League World Cup campaign's over for yourself, but one final question before they let you go. Who do you think is going to win it?
I think New Zealand might cause an upset with the Aussies. I think it'll probably be a New Zealand-Australian final. But I hope personally, England get in there. I've got two good mates with Benny Westwood and Chris Hill, and I'm sure if they can lift it up, it'll be really good for the game over here itself too, and really put England on the map in rugby league, and hopefully it'll be help develop the game.
Sounds like a really good project, Tyrone, and thank you for sharing that information with us. We're almost out of time here on this current podcast, but before we go, here's some more reaction from week 3 of the Rugby League World Cup.
That's right, Adrian, here's Carlo Napolitano and Scotland coach Steve McCormack.
Nothing that we did just worked. Probably going that first half, we just didn't stick to our game plan that we practiced. Our prep was pretty good, so you know, we just didn't do the things that we trained for. And when you're doing that, you know, you're always going backwards. And in the second half, yeah, a few decisions here and there, and you know, we just couldn't seem to get into the game. That's how it felt. We just kept on feeling it. We just couldn't get into it. You know, our completion rates were pretty poor, and you know, proof's in the pudding. New Zealand have proved that they're a force to be reckoned with, and you know, they've played some good football, Scotland. You know, I don't think you could write them off. They're very tough opponents, and Steve McCormack will have them running fairly well, but I just think New Zealand will be too strong. Fact of the matter is, it's been a good World Cup like that. You know, you look at the 2000 and the 95 World Cup, and you know, Minnow Nations weren't winning games. Mm-hmm. you know, we've done that. USA have proven that. You know, Scotland have proven that. You know, so it's been good from that respect. And that's what the World Cup's about. Again, though, I've said it before, it's not just about a competition every 4 years. We've got to be mounting international presence in these domestic countries. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, my little battles personally with, you know, the whole try to get money raised in Italy. You know, we are kicking goals. We're speaking to the union people. We're speaking to, you know, the powers that be at Kone to try and secure funding. Mm-hmm. You know, we just can't be looking at a four-year competition to say whether we're a success or not. Well, again, rugby union is very strong in Italy, and we understand that, and there is no reason why we can't coexist. And again, I think talks are now happening with the rugby union to say, well, listen, why can't we both coexist? And I think, you know, we've got an absolutely great platform there where we can have two federations that are talking to each other, understand that we're different sports, but yet, you know, work together. And if we can do that, hopefully we can also assist the rugby union, because it's quite common knowledge that there's a lot of rugby league influence now in rugby union, and we wouldn't want that any different. But some players are born to play rugby union and some are born to play rugby league. Some do cross over every now and then, but at the end of the day, if we can have a strong nation playing rugby in Italy, whether it's union or league, I think there's a margin there that where they both can be so successful. And I truly believe that.
We've gone over 3 or 4 times and obviously didn't get the ball down, but probably pretty desperate in the first half without the need to be. You know, I think we tried to score a lot of points rather than being patient. And it was only 8-0 and obviously second half when we spoke about being composed and getting back to what we'd practised. And we did it, you know, and that's when we've done that. In the other two games, and obviously the second half, we've scored points, and the commitment and the effort and the desire which the players have shown, and a lot of people's mentioned that. I think just the way they've played and the skill levels and the way we've gone about our jobs, I thought second half probably summed our World Cup up so far. You know, we've got ourselves in position to get those points, and at the end of the day, we've come up with a, you know, 2 wins and a draw in a World Cup, so games you can look at the negatives, but there's no way I can look at any sort of negatives with this game and the other 2 games we've played. You know, we've scored a lot of points again tonight, not conceded many. That's what we've been. We've been a team, whether it's been backroom staff, players, supporters, you know, reporters who's been with us in the group stages. You look at some of the key players, which some of the, you know, your Australians, your New Zealand, your Englands have got. Matty Russell's been right up there with them. He's had a fantastic World Cup, and you know, he's just worked hard. He's played against 3 top teams, and he's been the standout player in all 3 games, irrelevant of who we've played, whether that's some of the NRL players for the Tongan team, the Italian team. We've got some great players in our side as well, but I think Matty does deserve a special mention. Okay. You know, I think the values which we've set as a coaching staff and as key players like Danny, this fella's been fantastic on and off the field, and very fortunate I've got a good bunch of senior players. You know, they've got Ben Fisher, you've got Bruffy, you know, and there's a few more in there as well, and the culture, the environment we've set, and we've worked hard.
That was the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and loverugbyleague.com.